Chapter 2. Misfortune. I soon found out what a real storm was like. The wind howled and the sea waves looked as high as mountains. I began to see terror and amazement in the faces even of the seamen themselves. I heard the captain say softly to himself, "Lord, be merciful to us. We shall all be lost." I was terrified. I remembered how I bargained with God on that first night at sea. I thought about how I did not keep my end of the bargain. Once the sea had calmed, I had reveled in the sea journey and forgotten my promise. How could I appeal to God again now? But the worst was yet to come. The storm continued with such fury that the seamen themselves said they had never seen worse. In the middle of the night, one of the men cried out that there was a hole in the boat and water was getting in. We all began to pump, but it was soon apparent that we would not be able to pump water out as fast as it was coming in. Fortunately, another boat came along to help us. With much difficulty, we all got onto their lifeboat. We watched our ship sink not 15 minutes after our rescue. We slowly made our way to shore. We landed in a town called Yarmouth, and the people of the town rushed to help us. We were given places to stay for the night and enough money to get us either to London or back home. I was faced with the choice to go home humbly or continue on my adventure. I had nearly been killed at sea, but had been given another chance. If I followed my reason, I should clearly go home. Yet I was determined to continue. What is it that urges us on to become the instruments of our own destruction? Later, I met up with my friend again, the same friend who laughed at me for my fears during the first night of high winds. But now his tone was altered. His father was with him, and after being told that I had come on this trip as a trial, the father said to me, "Young man, you should never go to sea again. Take this as a plain and visible sign that you are not meant to be a seaman." I asked my friend's father whether he was going to give up voyages at sea, and he said to me, "It's different with me. It is my calling and therefore my duty. But you made this voyage on trial. You see that heaven has given you a taste of what you may expect if you continue. If you do not go back, you will be met with nothing but disasters and disappointments." But I could not go home. I was too ashamed. The thought of how I would be laughed at kept me from doing so. Why is it that we, especially when young, are not ashamed to sin, but are ashamed to repent? We are not ashamed of the action, but ashamed of admitting the mistake. I went to London and stayed there for some time, not sure what to do next. As time passed, I forgot my terror and longed, once again, for the sea. In London, I met the captain of a ship who had just been to the west coast of Africa. He had earned a lot of money on his trip. We got along well, and when I told him I wanted to see the world, he invited me along on his next voyage to Africa. He suggested I bring along items to sell in order to earn a profit. On the voyage, I took about 40 pounds worth of items along with me, but returned with 300 pounds. I also learned a lot from the master about sailing, navigating, and keeping records. I thus became a sailor and a merchant. As my mother had warned, I was filled with those aspiring thoughts which would so complete my ruin. I soon found myself captain of the ship. My friend, the captain who had first taken me to Africa, had sadly passed away. I decided to make the same voyage again myself. However, this time I fell into terrible misfortunes. We were attacked by pirates, and since there were more of them and they had more guns, we had to give up. I was kept as a slave to the pirate captain. In these awful circumstances, I remembered what my father had said. He had said that I would be miserable and have no one to help me. Well, here I was, a slave, and I thought it could not get any worse. I found out, however, that this was only a taste of what I was to go through, as I will share in time.